Hi there, this is Nina. We are here for a very special episode of Audible Weed Walk. This episode, number 35, is dedicated to the festival of renewal that we are experiencing now, the equinox and the full moon. Vernal equinox was on the 21st March. The world had celebrated Nowruz, the beginning of the new year for the Zoroastrian or Parsis, Baha'i, and people like to the ancient land of Persia, we can now call it Iran. You must have noticed that the bright and strong moonlight outside at night. This concurrence of vernal equinox and spring full moon, which will be on the Sunday, which is 29th, brings the celebration across the Northern Hemisphere. Here, there are some examples of the celebration across the world. But before that, I will like to assure you that with the stories of festivities, I will weave the tale with the weedy plants. Now, about the celebration. In Japan, a pre-Christian Shinto tradition celebrated Shunbun no Hi. Japan still observes a national holiday there, and it celebrates not a religious festival, but a more secularized one. Iranians too do something very similar as part of their Nowruz festivities. Some say that the phrase spring cleaning originates from the Iranian Kune Takuni, literally which means shaking the house. But I felt a close connection to the story from yet another continent, the celebration of the feathered serpent god, which was one out of the three main gods that a Mayan believed had created the world. Just like our Trinity, isn't it? In the Yucatan Peninsula, in the city of Chichen Itza of Mexico, stands a large pyramid of the temple of this featured serpent god. Mayan call this deity Kukulkan, and the Aztec name, let me see if I can pronounce it right, Quetzalcoatl. That makes it pre-Columbian era deity, even though it was discouraged by the Spanish conquistadors. Even today, there is a celebration of sort around the temple as if to wait for Kukulkan to come fly in out of the light and shadows and crawl down the steps of the magnificent pyramid temple. Without digressing to this intriguing topic too much, must mention that these gods have very similar ancient ones in Mesopotamia too, and in Africa. What is interesting that the Mayans believe that the Kukulkan had a human form as well, like, you know, half human, half serpent god kind of figure. And these gods have left the world, promising to return one day. This Kukulkan celebration is on the vernal equinox. Close to the vernal equinox is the first moon we celebrate, Holi or Dol. It's just the difference in the calendar. One follows the sun and another lunar. Apparently, this festival too is a very ancient one. Dates back to some 300 BC. Imagine that. Other scholars believe that it dates even before that. This festival apparently existed before the Hinduism evolved and formulated as a religion, and later it had incorporated in its pantheon. What is also interesting, one of the mythology that links this Holi is the story that involves Narasimha, the half-human, half-lion god. And like the ancient Aztecs, Narasimha is an avatar or incarnation of Vishnu, one of the trinities of the Hindu religion. Avatars, as you know, takes the form when needed and then leaves, just like our Aztec counterparts. I'm no scholar of the ancient art and history, but I find these similarities quite amazing. Whether you notice the similarities or not, I'm sure you would agree that Holi is a fun festival. But I did not grow up calling it Holi. We used to call it Dol or Dol Purnima. Purnima means full moon. It is called Dol Jatra in Odisha. Phakua and Phagun in Assam and Bihar, respectively. Rang Panchami in Maharashtra. Yosang in Manipur. And this is this one is new to me. It's called Manjal Kuli in Kerala. I didn't know Kerala had celebrated that. The word Manjal Kuli kind of refers to that turmeric is involved. Manjal is yellow. But maybe they used to do only with turmeric, but the pictures I saw, they were in full color. So they may have embraced color later. There are, guess how many? There are about 11 different types of festivities of Holi within India, and these are all celebration of color. The stories involved with them are, however, slightly different. Holi is celebrated to welcome spring and also to mark the death of Holika, the demon sister of the king Hiranyakashipu, who had the sister had the boon that she cannot be killed in fire. She tried to trick the devout son of the king, Prahlad, to enter the pyre with her on the request of the king himself. Vishnu, in form of Narasimha, came in rescue. Dol Yatra and most celebration in the eastern India, however, the story is a little different. It's based on the legend that this was the day Lord Krishna expressed his undying love to Radha. Color of Abir is applied in reverence to the picture of the ancestors, then to the feet of the elders, and the game begins, where the color can be smeared on each other's faces. Holi also marks the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a 16th century Vaishnava saint's birthday. He was a poet and was considered an incarnation of Krishna himself. He was responsible for the bhakti movement and the Krishna consciousness in the eastern India. Even though there is not so much of a winter around here, still the air is cool before the equinox. In other places of India, there are distinct winter going into summer. In this, in winter, typically our body puts on some weight to protect against the cold. And in the spring, this accumulated kapha, Ayurvedically speaking, wants to flow out through eyes, nose, throat, etc. At the end of this cool period, this confluence time is when it is not quite summer, not quite that hot. There is a feeling of lethargy and a fatigue, and also a tendency for cough, cold, allergies, craving for sweet, and due to a change of season, there is also need to cool the body and remain hydrated. So it's kind of this transition period where most people can get sick. The food in Holi, apart from the huge tendency to have sweets like any celebration, after all, it's a celebration of the local food and harvest. And among them, medicinal and nourishing herbs that are often wild and weedy. Yes, bhang, which you must have heard, is often projected as the drink of the festival. Though there are cooling drink, thandai, made from nuts and other wonderful, additives, does not include bhang, but is also a very much part of the Holi. It's actually, you put in sabja there, which is the basil seeds, which are supposed to be very cooling. Bhang does include the extract of cannabis plant, and normally very little is used. This much extract helps relieving the digestive problems, skin-related problems, fever, and sunstroke. In Manipur, the festival involves local food. That includes the local red rice, cilantro, chameleon plant, bamboo shoots, local vegetables, and much more. Same in other places too, if one look past the range of sweet dishes. With the cleansing body, there is also, it also needs a cleansing of the mind and space. getting rid of all that is accumulated and unnecessary. Cleaning up and lighting a fire is therefore comes hand in hand with the holy festival. Here, I'm going to cherry pick some wild plants that are actually essential for this change of season. They need not be as much possible, should be bitter, astringent, and pungent, and should be eaten cooked and warm, spiced to aid digestion. Some of them are here in no particular order. Amla, which is a great one for vitamin C. Aloe vera, it acts as a tonic to rejuvenate the blood and tissues. Bale fruit or wood apple calms body and mind, and it's slightly laxative. Hibiscus, rosella, Radha's consciousness. The leaves and flowers are edible and as herbal tea. Hibiscus also is a good cleanser for body and hair. A whole range of bitter leaves. Centaur asiatica or Vallarai, it's rejuvenating for brain and nerves. Cardiospermum helicacabum or balloon vine, leaves, they are excellent for joints. Solanum torvum, Tuduvalai, is great as a detox and deworming. And then sarsaparilla or nannari roots can be taken for and made into a cooling syrup or tea. Then one should have gourds of all kinds, and we have plenty in this season. You know, there are actually two or three different varieties of bitter gourd alone. Protein via lentils, lentils, beans, and as grain, millet, because they get digested slowly. Things to avoid is perhaps sweet, salty, fried food, and also fermented food. I do not know about the traditional food and celebration that takes place in Japan, Iran, or Mexico. Would love to know and find out about the similarities and where we differ. A large part of the Holi festival is about color. So what about colors? Gulal or Abir signifies different elements. Yellow is for prithvi or earth, deep blue for water, light blue for akash or sky, and green for air, and the red for agni or fire. I have read most natural gulal or abir are now made with corn flowers. But traditionally, they were made with different herbs, and perhaps some people still do so. One list I have found that includes neem, henna, red sandalwood, turmeric, marigold, etc. All plants used are known to have a kapha reducing property and ability to detox the skin. That is amazing. This led me to a memory lane. My mother, who is now in her 90s, had visited her ancestral home, then it was part of India, when she was a kid and later when in her early teens. That was the last. She used to often tell us about this plant that used to be ground up, soaked, and the remaining sediments were dried to make into a fine powder which was fragrant, and this was made into abir or gulal. The names, she said, I could never find. I guess I was not really investigating so deeply either. I did ask whoever I could from Bangladesh whether this plant is available still. But since I was not very clear about the plant name or what it is actually, I could never find. While actually thinking about this podcast, I wanted to give it another try. I called up my mother and asked her, and she pretty much told the same version, except this time I was listening and listening very carefully. The memory of the wild plant today links me to the land that my ancestors have long left. It's the story, the knowledge and the aroma of the food and some adopted tradition that links me to that. She mentioned the name Shoti, which is a very Bengali pronunciation. I needed to find the scientific name. Finally, I found that it is called spiked ginger lily or perfume ginger. The scientific name is Hedychium Spicatum. Even I found a Tamil name for it, Pula Kiranga. It is a plant of ginger family that is reported in the cooler climate of India, Southeast Asia, China, and Ethiopia. I guess they are also found in South India in the little higher altitudes. It has many therapeutic uses, anti-inflammatory, antiseptic, can treat bronchial problem, asthma, and it also has insect repellent properties, for which it is used as a dye and a perfume to make abir. I feel I have come a full circle. With this plant, I have somehow connected to my ancestral land, a land that I have never visited. And with the stories, I have connected to the cultures of our own land with that of the distant land, so diverse and yet so similar. Holi is, after all, the time to develop understanding and love for each other. And I am deeply fulfilled. Hope you have a wonderful full moon and stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the city of Dome.